Well, good morning and happy new year. I know it's just the second Sunday that we've gathered in the new year now. Many of you were not here on that first day, of which I don't blame you. It gets kind of busy, doesn't it, in the season. Does it feel like a new year to you? How many of you actually feel like it's a new year? Look at the hands up, folks. Okay. Maybe you're like me, you know, New Year's Eve, we didn't even stay up to watch the ball drop. I think I fell asleep around 11 o'clock. That's what happens when you get older, you know. It's just like, it's another one. So, you know, so there it goes, you know. And we wake up and it's like, it's 2017. Okay. The only thing is, it's a nuisance because you have to add the 7 on to the end of the year instead of 6. You got to remember that, you know, every time you sign a check. 2017. That's the only thing that I can remember or why it's a new year. But I want to suggest to you, you know, there is something to be thrilled about in the new year. You know, just like anything else, it's a new beginning. It's a new start. You know, sometimes we kind of try to take the whole picture in and it seems overwhelming. If you're like me, over the Christmas holiday, there were family issues that were going on and it was just like, when is it ever going to end? You know? And then to think, this is going to go into 2017, right? I mean, we have those issues. But I want to suggest to you that the readings for today, everything that we hear, the prayers that we've said, even our confession gives us this idea of a new beginning, a new start. And it's really something in which charges us. You know, and I'm not suggesting that you stick your finger in a socket, but I'm suggesting to you that the Spirit is very much alive, saying, wake up, we've got things to do. You need to remember what it is that God has done for you this day. And as if we didn't know, we are reminded again by all the signs that point to Jesus as being the Son of God. I want us to step back for a moment, and even though you don't have a copy of the service in front of you, I do. Because I'm not going to ask Evan to be throwing things up on the wall here to go backwards. But I want you to recall the words of what we said at the end of our confession. The last thing that we said publicly, we said, turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Is that what you're really asking? Turn us around and give us a fresh start. Wonderful words. I believe them. In our first reading for this day, while many of us, as we look at Isaiah, would say, it's pointing to Jesus, that's the Christianized view. But what God is saying through Isaiah is he's calling the whole nation of Israel as the servant. They are the servant. They are the ones who are to bring justice to the world, which is no small order. They are the ones who will not break a bruised reed. They are the ones who will not quench a dimly burning wick. They are the ones who will faithfully bring forth justice, and we will not grow faint or be crushed until justice has been established on earth. He goes on to say that I have taken you by the hand and have kept you. These are words which we need to hold in our heart and to remember. I have taken you by the hand, and I have kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. And see, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. New things are springing forth. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, you know, my mother's sick, or, you know, you told me that you're having problems with your family, and you know that people aren't working and don't have enough money to make ends meet. We know these things. We know these things, and that's where we step in to bring justice. And again, in the second reading for this day, Peter goes out of context. He takes a great risk by approaching Cornelius, who is a Roman commander, someone who has pledged his life to his Lord Caesar. And Cornelius is asking Peter about who this Jesus is. And for Cornelius, it is a whole new beginning because God has sent Peter to him, driven by the Spirit. And Cornelius hears the word and asks that his whole family be baptized. New beginnings. So today we are charged with bringing justice. We are charged with God's love, the very things that we have received that we should not take for granted. It's so easy to do. It's another Sunday. I hope it's not long. I hope I can get home and do what I want to do, go watch the football game, watch the playoffs. Yay, Steelers. Sorry, Lions fans. But God has given us each an opportunity to live anew today. It's not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today we have an opportunity to be renewed. Again, you've heard his forgiveness that is offered to you as we confess our sins and we hear about we asking for a fresh start, and God has granted it. Now we hear about the story of Jesus and his baptism, which seems kind of strange. Why would Jesus, who is totally perfect, need to be baptized? And John argues with him and saying, it should be you baptizing me and not me baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, this is what is to happen. Everything that you have said is what God intends for you to say, that you have pointed to your cousin, me, as the Lamb of God. And now you baptize me. And when he comes up out of the waters, we hear this, we see and listen to Matthew proclaiming that the heavens open up. It's a way of helping us to understand. It's a new relationship. It's a new beginning as the heavens are open, meaning God is accessible to all people. What was once closed off to us now is made available to us. And there is a sign of the dove that descends upon Jesus to show that indeed he is the one who has been led by the Spirit and is the Son of God. And if that's not enough for us to hear or see and witness, we hear the words, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." In Mark and in Luke's gospel, the voice is there, but it only indicates Jesus is the one that hears it. But for Matthew, it's important that all bear witness to the words in which God speaks to about Jesus so that they too may know that here is the promised one. And all these things that are to be fulfilled, how God comes to us in this form of a human being who teaches us to love and to care, to share, to treat each other with dignity and respect, not with swords. Not with words that are vile, that spill out of our mouth as if it's just so easy to do, but with ones that we treat each other in respectful ways. I believe today is a new day because we are being called forth to speak justice into the communities, to stand up for those who are not able to stand up for themselves, to stand with our African-American brothers and sisters, to stand with those who come from different faiths and backgrounds, and even if they are different than us, that they still deserve the dignity in which God has given to us and to all humankind. I believe it is time for us to stop pointing to others and scapegoating them as if they are the cause of all the troubles of our communities or our world, when the reality is the troubles just start right here at home. I believe that we need to treat each other, male and female, with respect and dignity. There is no place for speaking ill of each other. And when we see these things, it is up to us. This is the new beginning that we speak out, that we speak of love of Christ. And our words come from love, and they may be angry words. They may be words that are firm. But they are not words that are backed up by swords or guns. They are words that are backed up by God's Spirit, who drives us forth out into the community. It's not okay to be idle. It's not okay to accept things that we know that are not right and that we just simply let slip by. When there is injustice, we speak to it. One of the places in which I learned that so well was in my experience as a chaplain in a long-term care facility. And long-term care facilities are not only exclusively those for those who are elderly. It is for people of all ages. People who have lifelong diseases and are paralyzed and quadriplegics. And there are those that can't even speak, and those that have seizures. And there are those that are have dementia and senility. And then there are those who are just simply cast off as if they're not any important members of society any longer. I can remember in the orientations that we would give to the new workers that would come into the home about how the CEO would speak about the fact that this is their home, it is not your workplace. And that in this being their home, that you treat people with respect, and therefore when you approach the door, you don't walk in, you knock on the door and wait to be invited in. This is their home. That each and every person is to be treated with dignity and care, no matter what situation in life they are. And it's sad that sometimes when we get tired and we get cranky and when we're dealing with people in certain situations, that staff at times can get lackadaisical, can forget these things. And sometimes put themselves first instead of the people that they have been called to serve. You know, stop calling me. Stop putting your buzzer on. I've got things to do, but I've got to go to the bathroom. How undignified is that when that happens in hospitals and nursing homes that we make people wait because we're too busy? It's time to treat people with dignity. And when you see things that happen, it is up to us. These are the things that Peter reminds Cornelius, that we are witnesses of what Jesus has done. We are the ones who have been called to preach and proclaim the word, and they are also, and we are also, the ones who share in this great and wonderful love with everyone else. So you see, there is reason to celebrate the new year. It may seem like it's overwhelming that all these things are being tossed at us and saying, we need to do these things. We need to be out there. We need to be proclaiming Jesus as Lord. We need to be sharing others, our neighbors, and inviting them to be a part of a worshiping community, to learn what God's love is all about. And that does takes risks. It takes time. And we have so many things that are filled in our lives that it's very hard to do that. But with the Spirit's help, there is always time. So God challenges us today. Just as Jesus, as he comes up out of the waters, goes into the wilderness and begins his ministry by facing the temptations that each and every one of us do every day. And when he is done with that, he goes and he calls forth those 12 disciples, and he calls them, and each of them drop whatever it is that they're doing, and they follow him. And even though they haven't a clue as to everything that's going to happen in their lifetime, in that period of time that they've come to know Jesus, they become very much the central witnesses in the early church. Now you and I have been called forth to do the same thing. And in the midst of the boats and the storms of the seas, when we cry out and that we are afraid, Jesus is the one that will say in our hearts, be still, be calm, and know that I am the Lord. May God bless you and strengthen you, and may we be led by the Spirit with confidence, not to simply be idle, but to be active in sharing in the good news of Jesus. Amen.